As we walk, blessed Lord, let's stand to sing.
Be the last day in this world. Lord, sometimes we think that we are this and this and that, but the closer we get to Thee, the more we realize we're nothing. Lord, pray so You may forgive each one of us, Lord, here. Lord, this was not a children's story, it was an adult story. We heard it. We need Your power. The song confirm it right behind it. And Jesus, give us the power to go on with Thee. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have a short service because we have communion. Foot washing. Foot washing is a no. Baptism service. And I'm so thankful for the story that was told this morning. I think it was for me. You know, the source of power is the Holy Ghost. He will lead you into all truth. You know, I had some experiences, like each one of us have experiences in life. And I remember one time when I was with a brother. The brother went through a tremendous turmoil. A very large church preacher. And we're close friends. Very close. Nobody knew the inside story. And the man started having a nervous breakdown. And I was preaching his church from time to time, and I arrived at the airport at this time, and the place there, then it never snows. But that was full of snow on the ground. He called me. He says, David, I cancel service. I said, fine, I'm going to stay at the airport at the hotel there. I get a room, and I said, I'll leave tomorrow, I'm sure. You know, I don't want to get out of the airport because as soon as they clear the runways, I want to take off. And that route was a very tired route that I took. It was about 22 flights in about 21 days. By that time, you know, you're going up and down in long legs type of trips. I knew the problems, I knew some of it, and was very nervous, just not himself, the hundreds of people in the congregation. He came to see the room, and he just, when he closed the door, he just dropped on the floor, lay down. He said, pray for me. You know, all of us, we go through our up and downs, right? You know, we're none of us strong without him. I need your strength and power, Gordon said. The man was laying down, and David, he said to me, pray for me. I pray for him. After we prayed for a while, he got up. He said, I'm glad you're preaching my church. I said, what are you talking about? He says, there's nothing you can do with these people. That's serious, isn't it? The pastor tells him there's nothing you can do with these people. I took a brother for a little trip, and some of the doctors care, and I knew the inside stories. When he was driving the highway about 60 miles an hour, he just put your head on the steering wheel. He said to me, David, how was if I knew what I know now? So I was grabbing the steering wheel, driving for him while he was laying there, 60 miles an hour, all like that. The highway. I said, you come with me or take a trip. I was hoping somewhere the Lord would just break through something. We took a trip together. He says, I don't want to roommate with you because you won't be able to sleep. I said, okay. But all overseas in a place and got into a place that had a roommate. The man at 2 o'clock in the morning was going, fighting with demons. You don't sleep, you know that? He says, Lord Jesus, I plead the blood of Christ. Because those demons are fighting, you know, they can come and choke you. You get yourself in that kind of an environment, you got lots of things to worry. And you plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. On and on, all night. The next night, the same. I said, I got to sleep daytime or something. Then it was more peaceful, more peaceful, more peaceful, more peaceful. After 5 days, he comes to me. He said to me, the doctor gave me this medication, these pills. He says, I'm taking 5 a day. He says, if you take 1, we'll knock you out for a week. I'm taking 5 a day. He said, I haven't taken any for the last 4 days. You know, when you come face to face with eternity, it will be another story, what you think and what I think. You're going to be judged by this. Do you know that? Your revelations and all that stuff will mean nothing there. It's your life standing before God. I was in the study room area. I picked up a book that was in the corner, The Spoken Word, The Original Seed. That's the book of accountability, I would say. That Brother Bram says what he has done and why he has done it. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's what he said. I have done this because of this. So he said this. Now, next thing I want to say, and I do not believe the Bible contradicts itself. He refers to this book. I have already challenged the world around to any person who claims such to come prove it to me. Come prove it. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. It's you contradicting the Bible.
Amen.
God cannot contradict itself.
Hallelujah.
If he does, then he is in God. And if the Word of God is God, then if it contradicts it, then you make God contradict himself. And where is the God then? Kind of gets thick, doesn't it? Complicated. If God contradicts himself, he's no more than I, me, and I, and you.
Hallelujah.
Serious, isn't it?
Yes.
To know that you have a perfection in this book. Listen what he says. I believe if any word that is added to this Bible, and whosoever is guilty is doing it, his part will be taken out of the book of life, Revelations 21. No matter if you're a preacher or a layman, you're finished. You're finished. That's serious consequences. You know that? You say, Brother David, what is the message? The message cannot add to this. It reveals what is in it. He says, seven seals, there are seven in there. Seven church ages, seven there. Baptism in Jesus' name that I will cover real quickly, it's right here. Am I right? You remove this, I don't know about eternity. I met a minister one time, a good friend of mine, that he felt he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And when he saw what he has done afterwards, he was like a dirty rag laying in the corner. His wife carried him around like that. Serious. One word against this will never be forgiven. I don't care if you have the message, you know all the tapes. The scripture says one word against this book here. I'm so thankful to God. I don't want to quote experiences with the prophet. I like to quote experiences with the Jesus of the prophet.
Amen.
Because this book never changes. It's the same. And what the message does, it reveals what's in there. Did you watch how beautiful he put together baptism in Jesus' name? When he told these preachers, he says, if you find anything that I say that's not in the Bible, he says, you ought to come to me and tell me. Am I right? Why? Because he said, one word outside of this will never be forgiven. Brother David, what's Revelation? I explained it and I will just go once through it. Let's say that somebody says, somewhere in here, take one of these little handkerchiefs and I cover this book here. So you can see it. He says, there's a book that's full of treasures and things, this and this and this and that. Now, he says, Brother David says, everything is in there, praise God. Revelation comes from Apocalypse. Calyptus, you mean I have a veil. Now, somebody tells me what's in there. Probably I'll read about it. But once this veil is removed and I open, then I read its Revelation. The removal of the veil is you can see what's in here. And if what the prophet says, you cannot see it in here, somebody else give you that revelation. Think of that. Whosoever, he said, this statement, I believe that any word that is added to this Bible, and whosoever, no matter who you are, is guilty of doing it, his part will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21. We'll have to be very careful, am I right? Very, very careful what we do. Because now Revelation reveals it, but it doesn't mean you're going to make it. The distance of the life of that word and you is as far as from heaven to hell. Something that's revealed to you doesn't mean you got it.
Because what happens, something, the life of it, unless it comes to you, you can take it mentally and stimulate the message and philosophy about it. And you're lost. Do you know the human mind can take you so far that you don't know how to return? I've seen people totally destroyed, preachers. Come to me and cry, pick up the phone, David, my church and so on. I said, yeah. The first sign that you see when a man loses his direction. I drove in some big cities, Los Angeles and so on. You think you know where you're going and all of a sudden you realize you don't. And you drive, the first thing you do, you look for signs. Am I right?
Yes.
Look for signs. Let me turn left. That looks a big highway. Takes you to the wrong direction. The next guy, then you go so far. Then you find yourself in the bad part of town. You say, I better don't stop here. You keep on going. And you go way back down there. You don't know how to return. Until you stop and you find a map, right?
Yes, amen.
And you say, I want to go back. The first sign that we face when you don't see this as a perfect, you are searching for revelations outside of this book. And that's the sign that you're in the circle of death. The circle of death. You play with time. You might say that, I believe this and I believe that. Just wait and see. Just wait and see. The first sign that a backslid does, you know what it is? He does a lot of works for God. Super spiritual now. I listen to so many tapes, I do this. Just remember, that's words. You can listen 10 tapes a day. You can read probably, you can take one statement and God can do more to you than the whole 10 tapes. Because unless God deals with you, the only thing you do, you just, instead of grace, you take works. You keep on going. Am I right? How easy it is to know that God, when He reveals something, He doesn't really force you to it. It comes so natural. Am I right? He brings you to my level. And some people have something sticking in your throat. Do you believe it? The greatest battle that you see, I know Brother Branham said it's the mind. It's Matthew 4. That's word against word. He says, these stones, make them to bread. You're hungry. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Am I right? That's where the balance is. I might speak about it. But remember what we read here. And let me just make it real clear for this stage. Now, after I have told you why I believe the word and that God said what God said about it and how it should not be taken or added to taken from it, you cannot hybrid the word. You say, Brother David, a man said to me, I'm closing that part with a something that happened to me personally. You see, I didn't know that people were so far gone sometimes. And you know what? I'm sorry to say that, but I see corpse running around with a message. Corpse. They're so far gone. The life of Christ has gone out of them. Where is the life of Christ? Do you know that today, when these few little kids were singing, and I listened to them, you know what they were doing? They're just singing to you and me. How about your heart? Is it right with God? The children are preaching to us, and we are not listening. The only thing, we see a bunch of kids singing. But God permitted it to tell us, how about your heart? Little things. We pass them by, but Jesus tells, is your heart right with God? Yesterday, this precious book, the Word of God, the infallible part of the Word of God, sometimes people misunderstand it. They take one side and run wild. A man came to me one time after a service because I don't really get that stuff, and he said to me, he looked me at the face, he said to me, one thing I don't like about you. I said, okay, fine, God bless you, goodbye. You can't argue with ignorance. You got to get going. He said to me, what I don't like about you, you're Greek. I said, fine. So he looked me straight out of the face. His face came so close to me. He said, you understand what I'm saying? I said, yes, sir. I think I lost my volume, brother. Okay. So I thought for a minute. I said, now I want to ask you something. This happened in the States. The scripture says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to ask you, how did you get in? You see, he takes the word Greek. He doesn't know it's the Gentiles. And he twists it around. He's gone. The other side of the being field. But you know, instead of saying, hey, what does it mean? I remember one time, you know, different churches, and if you're here, you're a Mormon, there's nothing against you. Mormons are very strong in genealogy, you know that. Genealogy is genos, who means the birth, and talk about it, genealogy. And they go back where you came from, and what did you do, and so on, and they baptize for the dead, and so on, and they baptize sometimes with Washington, and so on. I was in Utah, that's the state of the Mormons, and I dealt with the university people there, so a little bit, some outfit outside that I was working with, trying to develop some things, you know, that I need. And I remember one time in my class at the university, I had a graduate student. She was about 38. Wasn't too old for that class. And you know, she likes to talk all the time. And normally I learned this, if you have more female in the class, you just stand still and the rest of them will take care of her. Just stand still. Because one time I learned that, I walked out in my class and I heard what was going on, and a couple of ladies had another one in the corner and said, listen, if you don't shut up, we'll punch you in the nose next time. So I said, if you stand still, everything will be okay. They'll take care of one another. See, just remember, you don't take two Italians fighting in New York and try to separate them because they'll unite and beat you up. That's the formula. So, she bothered me, you know. Dr. Mao, blah, 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 you know. So I just was patient. I said, when they're going to take care of her? She says, what about this? What? I said to them, would you like to write a paper for a grade? You want to take a test? Well, how would you like to do it? And I have the class normally vote how they want to do it. Pretty liberal there. So she says, we'd like to write a paper. I said, what do you like to write about? She says, genealogy. I knew right away I was in the Mormon section, you see. So I look at her, all the Mormon ladies comb her hair the same way, a little bit here, there, and there, you know, from the temple choir, and everybody does the same thing. You know, it's a spirit, you know that? Pour one upon another. So I spied her right away. I said, she's a Mormon, you know. So I says, okay, I said, just write three proposals, what you want to write. She says, I want to write about genealogy. I says, okay. I says, you want to write that? I'll give you the subject. She says, okay, tell me. I said, I want you to write why Enoch was the seventh from Adam and not the sixth. Very good, very good. Everybody in the class looked at her. They knew that. I've set a trap. The rest of them knew me, you know. I knew that, so I just let her. So after 2-3 weeks, she starts sweating it, you know. She went to the bishop and all this stuff, and she starts saying, I said, now, if you want any help from that, I said, go to the book of Jude. The book of Jude in the Bible. I said, do you have the Bible? Oh, yes, we are Christians. And I said, why was the seventh from Adam? So then, you know, she started making a fool out of herself. Well, some of the subjects got here. I said, you can't change it, lady. I said, remember what I said. You select it, you stay with it, or you fail. So she comes to my office and says, now listen, I'm a graduate student. You give them an C, will wipe me out from the doctorate degree. What are you doing to me? I said, listen, you stay with it and sweat it for a while, then I'll talk to you. So, you know, that shut her up pretty quick. You know, the class was peaceful then, so it's not like in a church, you see, in the class, you give them a D and you wipe them out. They don't show up next semester. But sometimes, if you're a pastor, you have to live with the same thing year after year. That's terrible, isn't it? But what happened, you know, then I said to the class, I said, I assigned a topic. And I said, I'd like to speak about this topic. And I sit in my class and I spoke about serpent seed. These people were just marveled. That moment, my lady bowed her head. I said, I don't want you to write a paper. Tell me what grade you deserve. She says, give me a B and I'll get out of here. I says, I'll give you a B. Don't come back. You know, the Word of God sometimes is by revelation. It's not by knowledge. I'm going to speak a little bit about baptism. We have different forms, the people. I'm trying to make things simple. People baptize in different churches in different ways. Some of them that dive you forward, some of them backwards, some of them sprinkle you, some of them, I was going to say spit at you, but sometimes it's happened too. But you know, baptism, for you that you're going to be baptized, it comes from the word baptizo, who means I die by dipping. And the old kings in history comes from the verb vapto, who means I change the color. For the king used to come to the kingdom and the son was going to inherit it back to the adoption. The son was going to inherit, the village was coming around and they used to take a garment. And if the color of the village was green, they had that bucket with the green paint. And they dipped that garment right into that bucket. When they picked it up out, it was green. And then they wear that green garment to the individual. I put a crown on him. He's the inheritant of the kingdom. And when we are baptized, we don't sprinkle, but we say that we are buried with Jesus, and now what you see in me is Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, am I right? Pretty simple. Now, baptism, many people think that it's something that identifies me as the church. It doesn't identify you as the church. I had an experience, I've tried to avoid to say about some things, that the closest people to Brother Branham one time in one of the meetings said to me, David, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? I said, no. They said, you're going to hell. I said, okay. I said, did the thief of the cross went to hell? Or Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise with three words. Lord, remember me. Amen. I don't say I don't believe in baptism. But baptism is only an outward confession of an inward work in obedience to the Word of God. You have to do it. But some people baptize, they think they're going to get saved because they're baptized. But it's your faith in Christ through repentance that saves you. So they said, if we don't baptize you in the bathtub tonight at the motel room, you're going to hell. I said, okay. I said, what about Matthew 28:19? They didn't even know what it was. Brother Brown being preached there. God had explained of Chicago, 3861 tape, 1961, 38 tape. So they said, you don't look at that. And you know what? You cannot take one word out of this book. I knew that much at the time. I says, these birds don't know what they're doing. In one side, I was seeing Brother Brown delivering a message and powerful. I take the tape, I go home, I study, I have no problems. I was getting involved with some of the people that's supposed to be the closest. I'm sorry for that saying that. But I was confused. And one night I was fasting and praying this week, and about 2 o'clock in the morning I couldn't sleep, and I got up and I opened my Bible, and well and behold, I saw a verse there that says, in the seat of Moses there were many scribes and Pharisees. Listen to what they tell you and do, but don't do as they do. I said, wow. Then I go to my Bible, the seat of Moses, cathedra, who means the power of authority, the closest to Moses. So then, as I studied, the God had explained was not yet out. And I had quotes, Brother Branham says, baptized. But you know, people think that you hear lots of things, Brother Brown, this, Brother Brown, that. At that time, they were not around. I don't know where they were. Today, they're hitchhiking with his name. They were the closest. I never seen them around. So then what happened? I started studying my Bible. I said, Lord, somewhere, these two, now I'm talking about the baptism service, these two, Matthew 28, 19, and Acts 2, 38, if you're God, must agree, right? Amen. And how do I know what I do? Do I do what Jesus said? Or what I do what Peter says without realizing both of them say the same thing? But you see, if God is not revealing to you, you just take a bath because somebody told you to do that. So I was studying my Bible and I was going. I said, baptized in the name of the Father. So I took my concordance. I took all the Father, 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 Father. And I found a scripture that says, you're your father, the devil, and his works you do. And I said, hey, God has a title as a father, the devil has a title as a father. I says, then I went to the Son. Christ has a title as a Son. The devil has a title, the Son of Perdition. Then I went to Christ and Antichrist instead of Christ. And I says, both of them have the same things. Now, how do you know what you're doing? A simple and an okay way, but that's what it is. Right? So then I said, now listen, I said. I went back to my Greek Bible, back and forth, back and forth. I couldn't change it. It was there. Then I said, probably because I'm baptized into the church. That makes the difference. But then I said, listen, the best place was paradise. That's where Eve messed up. I can't trust because I got baptized into the church. There must be something more than that. So I realized the name makes the difference. Then I called some friends, Brother David, would you come down to Jeff? And I went down there, I said, would you like to tell Brother Brown you're here or something, you know? Would you like Brother Brown to baptize? I said, what difference it makes? I'm baptizing to Christ. See, you don't have an age who baptizes you. One Redeemer of the cross, Jesus Christ. One Savior, one shed blood, one sacrifice. I said, what difference it makes? You have to see it. Look at me like that. She said, what? I said, listen. I said, let's get down to the river. Get one of these preachers baptized and forget it. Because we're baptized into Christ. Am I right? So then I start looking at, I said, now we're talking about a name. And I start looking about a name. And I said, a name, what does it mean? That's when I read my Bible and I start reading, there's the meaning of the names. Timothy, to me, is honor. Theos is God, the man that honors God. And Paul says, I have one Timothy left. One man that honors God. Demas has forsaken me. He loved the present world. Demas is a politician. Have forsaken me. Sure, well, politicians will forsake you. Theophilus, Theos is God. Philos is a friend of God. I see these names there. I says, what did really Jesus means? So I started looking around. Finally, I got to the book of Philippians. Now listen, you're going to be baptized. And in the book of Philippians, I start reading there, this, that, let this mind be in you, which is was also in Christ Jesus. There will be a mind in you to think like what? What? Is this Jesus?
Amen.
There's no difference between this and Jesus, you know that? Many people speak about the Word and they don't know that Christ is the Word. He became flesh. One of the most heathen books that was ever written is the so-called Dialogue. Heathen. If I have time later on, I'm going to cover a few things. Because why? They took Egyptian cults. Was published by the Watchtower. Now, let me first define something. The Dialogue comes from Diglossos, two languages. But I'm talking about the Dialogue published by the Jehovah's Witness people, the Watchtower. most devilish thing. You know why? I don't consider it the Bible. I have it in my library. I have it in the corner so it doesn't pollute anything else. Let me tell you what they say. The old Egyptians believed there are levels of God. You know that? There's a big God up there and another one lower, another one lower, another one lower until you come in the scene and you're part of God. And that God Lord writes this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. They translate, and the Word was a God. He was an a God. He was God or the greatest deceiver that I have ever seen. And the people today read it to go deeper. And the Jehovah's Witness gave it to them. So they take the interpretation about the coming of the Lord. They take everything. Here's the dog, Lord. Here's the dog, Lord. They don't know what's happening. The devil deceive them with doctrines. Now he gives them in the Bible on the top of that. How do you go? Brother Dave, what I should do? Should I know Greek or what? No. You should have the Holy Ghost and read the King James as far as I'm concerned.
Amen.
Right? So all of them want to impress somebody. They know a couple, three Greek words, and I look at them. I better say something to understand what I'm saying. One time, one of my students was writing his dissertations for the doctorate degree. He came to me, he says, David, they are rejecting him first, and then I went to pick him up and pass him through. A nice old fellow, you know. He was the head of the research center for the Garrett Corporation that makes the big turbine engines for the 747s and the rest of the jets. He said, what do you think I should make my dissertations? I says, Nelson, I says, look. He was about 62. I said, listen, why don't you pick up a couple of three subjects, look at them, see what you like to do, and then give me a proposal and a page a piece, and I will look them over and work with you. So he did that, so I took this piece of paper, and I said, Nelson, what would you like to write about? I said, let's forget that for a minute. He said, I'd like to write about honorary degrees. I said, okay. He started writing, and then I started looking at the thing. And I found out there's a man in New York that has issued over 30,000 doctorate degrees, honoraries, and charges $32 apiece. I lost confidence in religion. That was in religion. I lost confidence. Doctor this in the radio. Doctor that in the radio. Doctor that in the radio. But you know, you don't impress the bride of Christ with anything like that. The ones that have gone through the cross and the blood of Christ, let me find an old sister and an old brother with their Bible in their arms and tell them, pray for me. I know they're going to touch God. And the rest of the philosophers, if I don't find them on the altar, I don't want them around. That's a bomb, but you deserve it. So now I start seeing Paul start speaking about it, and I was going to buy one. One senator, brother. That's personal, but it's going to happen someday. Now, all of a sudden, let this mind be in you, and being in the form of God, listen to this. We're going on to a name. Being in the form of God, am I right? What did he do? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was God. We don't have two gods, am I right? He was God. And what did he do? But he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Not just in the likeness of man, but a slave. Had no choice. Just remember you that you're going to be baptized. That same Jesus that came down, you were in him.
Yes.
That same Jesus, you were in him.
Amen.
And now he comes down. He took the form of a man. He was a slave. Had no choice. Like the prophet wrote, he made me a perfect arrow. He was straight to the target, Calvary. No choice. He says, I'll make you a king. All these Pharisees, I mean the message, I'm out of the message and everything. He was going to the cross. Keep on going. What did he do? And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross.
Hallelujah.
have you picked up your cross? You see, the cross is a bad thing. It's easy to philosophize about the message. But when you try picking up the cross of Calvary and drives you straight to your own death, and you don't have any direction to go, you scream, "I can't take it anymore." Go to your bedroom, close the door. "I want to die." You throw yourself in the bed. "I want to die. I want to die, Lord." And the voice speaks to you and says, "That's what I want you to do. I want you to be dead to yourself."
Amen.
That's Calvary. Now that Jesus that you see, he became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, wherefore God have also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow.
Amen.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
What is the name of Jesus? That the great Jehovah came down and died on the cross for you. And God redeemed you.
Yes.
Through the blood of the sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
And now Paul says this. Don't worry after that. Don't worry after that. He puts a big if when he spoke to the Romans. And he said to Romans 6, he says, listen to this. He starts speaking to them about the Lord. Know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death? So baptism is not a bath. You identify yourself with the burial of Jesus Christ. You're buried. Your life is gone. The cross is there. The Holy Ghost upon you comes upon you. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. And now what I'm supposed to do? Oh, I'm supposed to be a philosopher of the message. No. That Holy Ghost would lead you straight to your cross. He'll pick up a Judas for you. There are lots of them around. And he'll hammer the nails. If they don't hammer them quick, but a little at a time. Tick, tick, tick. Are you hurting? That's okay. Tick, tick, tick. Well, that beautiful thing that he said in Romans 6. He said, don't worry. Don't worry. He says, I want you just to see that name of Jesus. That's why God gave him a name above every other name. Why? He humbled himself. He came down. The great Jehovah, like I mentioned, sitting there, living like a bum without a place to put his head on. He looked at his own creation. He says, the birds have nests. The foxes have holes. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to sleep. I have no place. Today, you provide them seats. You provide them an organ. You provide them songbooks. You provide them tapes. You provide them everything. They have not only the foxes' nest, they have the Hiltons. And they spit at you. That's the Jesus so-called. Of the people. I better get out of it because it's painful. And Jesus said, now listen. That name takes you to the cross. But don't worry. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, he gives a promise, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Beautiful, isn't it? Some people say, who is going to be in the rapture? I say, bury me with Jesus. And I'll tell you where I'm going to be. Correct?
Amen.
Brother David, what is the message? The message is Jesus Christ leads you back to this word.
Amen.
But we kick it. We don't want it. It's painful. We don't like it. Because why? It's a testing point. It's a checkup to see if you stand or not. This Brother Bram said in this book that I read, he said, I offer the challenge word around to show me a contradiction. I'll finish in 5 minutes. I haven't even looked at my outline. I don't know what is it there. I don't know. So now we see, before, in the Old Testament, I had this right here, the law. What is the law, Brother David? A group of instructions. A group of instructions there. Do this and don't do that. I remember when I was going to the law school at the University of Denver, working for my minor. I had a man, an attorney, that said, I called him a Philadelphia attorney, remember citations and everything. Got this medals down in the heels, and he was going like that, tick, 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 tick. He said, that's not so, tick, tick. He used to give us cases to defend one another. Now, this is the law. It's not only what to do, but it tells you what God is. I lost my voice. It's what God is. He says, thou shalt not steal. And you know that God's not a thief. Am I right? Thou shalt not kill. You know God is not a murderer. Thou shalt love your neighbor. God is love. But when I am like a beast, turn my back to God, prodigal son. I was in Adam. And when I start seeing these instructions, I start being facing a problem. And listen, my problem is in Romans 8. Romans 8, I'm closing in a few minutes. Let me see if I can find it. Well, the third verse, he says, what the law could not do. In that I was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Isn't it beautiful?
Amen.
I couldn't do that. And now something else comes around. Jesus comes around. Right here. Who is that Jesus? The Word. We don't have two gods, one of the Old Testament and another one of the New. Jesus fulfilled every comma, every iota that was in there.
Amen.
You see, God cannot say something and change it.
Hallelujah.
He fulfills it. Before I was sitting there, listen, young man and young lady, I don't know who you are, you want to be baptized. I tried to do this, I tried to do that, I tried to do that, but go to pastor and say, oh, brother, forgive me, I fail you. Just remember, God is leading you to the burial today. The problem today, you have too many people alive and not too many dead. That's the problem. I want this, I want that. Who cares about Jesus? That's what they tell you. I take this, that suits me. Who cares about the Bible anymore? I don't care about this, I don't care about that. So now he comes and what is he doing? He says, if I'll speak it in the Old Testament, if I don't come in the flesh and fulfill it, I'm not God.
Amen.
That's our Savior. Without him, I'll go to hell.
Amen.
He comes and tells me, I took the form of a slave. I says, okay, if I sit it here and I cannot fulfill it in the flesh, it's one thing somebody will tell you to do something, but if you cannot do it, what's worth it? What about if that Lord tells you down there, fly 100 feet up on the ground? You can never fly because you're not a bird. But if he tells you something that he himself takes the form of a man, fulfills it. Right there. Now he says, Paul said here, and what the law could not do, is that I was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful flesh. In the likeness, not sinful, in the likeness. With other words, he took you and me. God Jehovah, when he created in the Genesis, he says, let man be in our own image. So he came down in the same image that he was there to begin with. Two eyes, two ears, two legs walking.
Amen.
The difference between you and him, he was a creator, Jehovah.
Amen.
He comes down now right here. So you come around and say, I don't have the strength to do it, Jesus. So he shall save you. Save you from what? from the wrath of the law.
You're
going to hell. Saves you from that. Paul says, I can do all things in Christ. You know, you can fulfill the law in the flesh. It doesn't mean if you try to fulfill that without Jesus, you reject grace. Paul says this, I'm blameless to the law. But when he revealed himself to me, it's not that I do it. It's he. Am I right? So God says, now come unto me. I want you to get saved. Saved? What is saved? You cannot do this. You are guilty. The two chairs example. So what I will do, I've done it for you. Just face it and believe it. Too many Christians today try to work religion. Oh, I listen 5 tapes a day. I die with Jesus every day. I listen tapes. Working more books than I don't know anybody else does. But now I look at this. Here's the law. Here is Jesus. I says, Jesus, just I want to go with you. And he says, come unto me. I have paid the price. I have taken your sins there. You're in me. I have done it all. I went to Calvary, pay that. I went down to the grave. I took you with me to die to the world and things of the world. I rose up, and I'm sending you the Holy Ghost to tell you that you're in me. Beautiful Jesus, isn't it? Paul, the champion to the Gentiles. I don't know if I can find it in Romans 3. Listen to this, what he says. Remember, you don't break this law. It has to be fulfilled. You know that? The scripture says in this law, it's an abomination for a woman wearing a garment that pertains to a man. Jezebel painted her face. You know that? She says, don't do that because you're going to go to the wild dogs with her. And young lady, let me tell you something. If you study one word there, painted her face, you find the word stimmy, who means she dyed her eyes right there. And today sometimes I see girls in the message wearing this dye in the eye. She dyed her eye. And Solomon says, watch the eye of a woman so you won't be deceived. That's painful. Let's get something else. So now the law is there. Jesus comes and fulfills it. I'm standing here now. I go to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me. Praise the Lord. God calls us. I want some witnesses here. Witnesses? Yes. 2 or 3 witnesses. And you know why he cannot change? Because about 2 immutable things, his vow and his word.
Amen.
In Hebrews 6. God takes a vow that you as a Gentile and I as a Gentile, we're going to be, God, Christ is going to come for me and you. Have the promise, he came down, right? But the vow of God stands. God, by foreknowledge, way back there, so Esau and Jacob, am I right? One I love, the other one I hate. Why? Esau sold his birthrights, right? Now you go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews, I don't remember exactly. And that boy Esau falling his knees. Gee, God of heaven, forgive me. The scripture says he found no room for repentance. You know why? In Genesis 25, he tells his brother, vow unto me the birthright. Like you couldn't go back. That shakes you up. To know that a vow is not a game. That's serious, isn't it? He could not go back. But 2 immutable things God cannot change. Go to Hebrews 6. The last part of the Hebrews 6. It's too painful to read it. Read it yourself and pray to God. But now I'm right here. The Lord is right here. What really happened to this?
Do you throw it away?
No, sits there.
I said, stay there. I want to talk to you.
Because the Word of God says. Now, he says in the third chapter of Romans, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall not be flesh justified in his sight. In other words, you do this, you do that.
Yeah.
Forget that. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. It tells you, don't steal. I'm guilty. Don't do that. Young lady, young man, don't run around. That's what it says. But now I'll come to Jesus. What part of this place now? But now the righteousness of God through the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That law now stands up and says, I witness that David Mamelis fulfilled the righteousness of God. I have nothing to claim against him.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful, eh?
Amen.
I cannot claim nothing of him. Why? Because he's right here.
Oh,
you throw that away? No. He's a witness that you are in here. I cannot claim anything that he's guilty. Nothing at all. He's not guilty. Why is he not guilty? Jesus of Nazareth. Pay the price. Am I right? And now the Lord screams, I'm a witness. There's nothing guilty against David Mamelis. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. You can't chop God in three pieces or two pieces and give it to me. I see the Word of God, one God. So now when you go to be baptized, we talk a little bit, just a little bit, about repentance yesterday. And any time you challenge repentance, you got problems. Because you're testing them. You know how many times I fake things in school. I was a bad student. I wouldn't make good grades, but I was a bad student. I used to buy one book or two. The rest of it, I used to go before tests about 3 weeks and 2 weeks and read it and go take the test, remember everything, take an A, and then get out of there. But you know, one day I faced myself face to face writing dissertations. I said to my wife, Polly, you have to get going. She said to me, where? I said, we have some friends up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Graduate from school. I swear that you go there because I'll be neurotic the next week. She said to me, what it means? Day and night I will be taking a test for about 8 hours. It's a flip coin if I would get my degree or not. When we're tested, we don't like it.
Yeah.
When you sit in that auditorium, you see 100 students and you know not 20 will make it. It shakes you. When you see that in the days of Noah, just a few souls made it, it should shake you. Now, he says, I'm calling this for a witness. I look at him and says, what do you want? He says, the righteousness that I got in that law, you fulfill it in Jesus. Because that word became flesh. And he's God, and not a God, but he's God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Am I right?
Amen.
I don't even have an outline. I don't know where I'm at. I'm going. But now it's just even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, not your faith. I was praying yesterday. A young lady had a great time with the Lord. Jesus, she says, Jesus, Jesus. A great time with the Lord. He says, by faith of Jesus Christ, into all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Faith makes it. I said too much. This is true.
Amen.
You know that? This doesn't change.
Amen.
The prophet revealed this. The evidence that you don't have the revelation is you are cross-eyed. You cannot see the message in here. That's right. We don't have two gods. The law here says the righteousness of the law, I stand as a witness. I was fulfilled right here. Friend, you're going to be baptized. I was going to preach about something else. That doesn't make any difference. We talk about the Word of God. That's what God wants you to speak about this morning. That's what we do. Am I right?
Amen.
You know? Now think of a great Jehovah now that you got.
that this law says non-guilty. But Jesus, I was a fornicator, an adulterer, I steal, I kill.
He says non-guilty.
Every sin that has ever been committed was upon him, or it's not a God.
Amen.
He didn't die only for the goodies. He died for everything.
Amen.
Every sin was upon him. And now by faith you come to him and he saves you. What does it mean, salvation? He tells you that this law has no more claims on you. He stands as witness that the righteousness of that law was fulfilled in Jesus. Because the same Jehovah. What happened if God says, now you do this, and he doesn't come down to do it? In the form of a flesh, where would you be? Because he did it. My faith is upon him. By his grace I go on with God. Glory seed, sing the song, lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I can't go astray because of this. We need to go back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think I should go and spend a week in a small congregation, just start the foundations right from the beginning to the end of the scriptures. Beautiful. Who are you? I'm dead in Christ. About victory, they beat you up. I'm closing with this. Paul, there was a time in Corinthians that he got a lot of trouble. And you know, if you're a Christian, you got a lot of trouble. All kinds of Judas is flying around all kinds of Judas. I got a quote, I got a quote, I got a quote. You're talking about the Bible. He says, who is the Bible? They don't know. They don't know it's the Word. They don't know the revelation. God sent a prophet in this house to reveal this Word. Not to idle take away from it, but to reveal this Word. Whosoever, you are finished, brother. So now, look, Paul has a lot of trouble. In Asia, they kick him around. They threw him into the water to get drowned. Him, he says, I was beat up. But you know what happened? Listen to this. It might go over your head, but listen. There was a day when Jesus died on the cross that he took the verdict of death. And in that verdict of death, Paul looks at it and he says, Jesus just didn't die for me, but I was crucified with him there. When he went to the cross, I was in him. He says, I am crucified with Christ. And Paul recognized that the verdict of death has been pronounced to him too, because he was there. He says, I conquer because I took the sentence of death. Am I right?
Amen.
The verdict has been pronounced. Paul is dead. They beat him around. He says, I trust Jesus that raised the dead.
Amen.
Beautiful. The Word of God is so rich.
Amen.
So, to know that the Judas are nailing, but Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. To know that he rose from the dead. To know that this law, the righteousness of the law, has been fulfilled. To know it today, you're going to take a baptism service in that name above every other name. I love Jesus. I don't know how to turn the service, how to finish it. I don't even know what I do with my outlines, but I turn it to Brother Searle. The Lord bless you. I hope you got something this morning. I hope you got something. God bless you.